Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, rugby.
And I know Connacht fans who I talk to, it's great to see Connacht playing really well and throwing the ball around, but like, they want to see them winning matches and winning tight matches.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You are very welcome along. It is 7:30 of a Thursday. We have a very interesting show for you lined up today. We are going to hear from Philippe Auclair, talk about PSG and best football in the world and everything else going on there. Tipperary hurling legend, four-time All-Ireland winner Noel McGrath is going to join us just after 9:00, and then I sit down with the CEO of Kitman Labs, Stephen Smith, talking about analytics revolution and how it's having an impact. They have deals with Major League Soccer, with the NFL, and most pertinently with the Premier League, particularly when it comes to the budget and the FAI, and how do you make sure that you get value for money. They're actually doing that at the moment for the Premier League, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. In the meantime, we say good morning to everybody. Cullum, how are you?
Hiya, John.
Dara, how are you?
Hi, Jar.
And Arthur, how are you?
Brilliant.
Where do we want to start?
Aston Villa. They return to Feyenoord tonight.
Yeah.
Scene of their 1982 European triumph.
Yeah.
Against Bayern. Why don't we talk about that? Why is that not talked about?
Is Feyenoord a place? It's Rotterdam.
Well, the scene of Feyenoord. I wouldn't concentrate on that level of detail I want to talk about here. 1982 European Cup triumph. It's not really...
Great question.
It's not talked about, you know? Nottingham Forest, we talk about all the time. Liverpool's dominance.
We don't really talk about Forest all the time. We talk about it in patches, and it's primarily, I think, it has survived because of Clough and also because of the players who were involved in having careers in media.
And then whatever executive
was kind of fairly significant in English media, but there's nobody from that Villa team. Like, they weren't particularly outgoing, bubbly, vivacious characters in by way of the media, and I'd say it might be a little second city syndrome, you know. That's it. What's your theory?
Well, you can champion it. You're here to talk about it. We could do a piece in it.
We could do, but would anybody, does anybody care about the 1982?
Well, this goes back to our conversation yesterday about Aston Villa. You know, there's a silent majority out there who like this stuff. They'll just never put it in writing.
I mean, the first comment this morning was Ger Villa speak from Zed Leplin.
We've given you a platform.
Looking forward to seeing if the resurgence in form is a chimera, or if it's real. And how can we tell? They have to win a load of games. Tricky fixture list coming up. Some good teams, the best teams. And we'll see what happens.
I have no theory really to answer your question. I'm more genuinely bemused that we don't talk about. They beat Bayern.
How many of the other Champions League, European Cup wins are you intimately familiar with really when it comes down to it? Liverpool won a load. Like, I know some details of those Liverpool victories that happened before I was kind of watching football properly, because I've spoken to people about, you know, the one that they win in Rome, the Liverpool one, where they're waiting to go out, and all of a sudden one of them starts banging his feet on the ground, and suddenly they look over and it's like, oh, we're going to win this game. They knew in the tunnel. They didn't actually win the game in the tunnel.
Penalties, isn't there?
It went all the way, yeah. But... like all those details about the Villa, I don't know. Haven't. Are you interested in that stuff?
I'm just more wondering that we don't talk about it. And you can change that. You don't want it. That's okay.
I think you're right. I think it's just for lack of a person to latch on to.
Yeah.
It wasn't even their manager, wasn't it? It was the guy who'd come in. It wasn't even was it Saunders?
Yeah.
Whoever was the guy that wasn't. Yeah. He'd already left. It was a bit like thing, like nobody remembers Leeds getting to the 75 final.
Except us at Ireland.
Yeah, exactly, because of Giles. But same thing, Revy had already gone. And Clough had gone. But just passes away.
Somebody did write a book about that season and a movie. You know, no one's writing a book and a movie about Villa.
No, maybe not.
Exactly.
Like sandwiched in between. I think maybe
hell of an achievement.
For granted the fact that, like, English teams, they were all winning it.
Yeah.
Forest only won one league title and won two European Cups. How hard was it? What? Like, way, way harder. Anyway, that's where you wanted to start today?
That's where I went, yeah. Wait, what do you want to start with?
I don't know. You were raving about Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, yeah, what a game. Unbelievable, particularly that first half. Did you watch it?
I did, yeah.
Pure football. There was so many great footballers on the pitch at once. Yeah. That was the beauty of it. You don't see it too often.
That match,
the Super League dream happened last night. From the left back of Nuno Mendes, like, PSG had a good few lads missing. Kvaratskhelia, Desiree Doué, João Neves pulled out just before the start, and of course, Ballon d'Or himself wasn't there. It was Van Dembele. But they still won. They still won 2-1. Some beautiful stuff. Like, Pedri picked up the ball in the 7th minute of this game in centre mid and ran with it, dribbled through the middle of the pitch. It's like, you don't often see centre mids these days do that.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford, gorgeous assist.
Yeah,
there was a bit of a team last night of ex-Man City and Man United players linking up in Europe. See, I had Rashford assisting Ferran Torres for the goal. Ferran Torres should have returned the favour, but before that,
do you think?
Outside of the left foot pass by Lamine Yamal, there's no one talking about this. Ferran Torres goes around the goalkeeper, tries to finish. Zabarni, the former Bournemouth defender, cleared it off the line. If he had just waited for a second, Rashford was completely free in the box.
It's tough. He's got around the keeper. Your first instinct is mad. Just shoot.
I saw that. I saw the thing in the background of Rashford calling out for it.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Of course he's going to shoot. He has to shoot.
Well, like, a bit more composure, he would have had a better man. Just pass it across.
Oh, so
then he returned the favour. And then in the Napoli game, Kevin De Bruyne and Rasmus Højlund. Great partnership.
Højlund scored again, did he?
Two goals. He scored twice.
So De Bruyne ran through the middle of the pitch. He did a Pedri on it.
I was thinking, like, if he'd never been at Man United, we're watching him now, he'd be like, oh, we could do it with him. We could do it with a player like him.
Yeah, they'll probably sign him again.
Just hear me out. A new manager comes in and they bring back all the players. They bring back Rashford, they bring back Højlund.
I think Højlund's sold.
Is he?
He's sold if they get to the Champions League, I think.
Okay.
Which they probably will.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but that's, they're playing Sporting Lisbon, like. Do you know what I mean?
Well, United were playing a lot worse than Sporting Lisbon when Højlund was there.
When?
And they didn't do too well.
Who'd be a lot worse than Sporting Lisbon?
Like any of the three sides that went down last season.
But he scored against Leicester, I think.
Yeah, but he wasn't
against Villa.
That.
He's always scoring against Villa.
Yeah, like, I don't
stop scoring against Villa.
I don't think.
I mean, well, that's close to show. Then we can't really ever prove.
It wasn't biting the goals
wrong
in the Europa League either.
He was kind of getting dropped toward the end, but like it was, he scored like in the Champions League for Man United in his first season. I don't think there's any great surprise that he can score goals, but his overall play is not good enough. Like, he's not there. He's brought in there as a backup because Lukaku's injured.
He would scored two goals in Champions League though.
Like, yeah, I know, but it's not as clear cut as that. Like, it's not, it's there's a lot of, you know, like, he's not a bad player by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not. I don't know what we'd be saying off the basis of that. What Man United should have kept him off the basis of what we were watching him there the last two seasons.
No, I think the point is that he's not a bad player.
No, no,
a lot of people put him down as.
Oh well, they'd be wrong. Like, he's definitely not a bad player. Yeah. He's not class. Like, he's not elite.
No.
He's very young for a striker.
Maybe possibly. He becomes it.
But he maybe, like, I suspect he has many of the traits that many of the elite strikers do have, and that's why they put the money out.
I'd say it's
an 70 million.
I think it's you could forgive someone for bringing up the fact that he scored twice last night and he looks happier for a guy who looked forlorn for most of his time at Manchester United.
Yeah, well, he was desperate to stay at Man United.
Yeah, but.
And it wasn't working.
He was playing with a total absence of confidence. Like, nothing. There was nothing going on. The guy scored. Like, look at the statistics last season. Look at him now already. I wouldn't be bogged down about who they're playing and all that. It was just the way he was scoring the goals, the finish, the header. It just looks like a happier guy. That's all that is.
That was one of the biggest things when he was at United, though. It was his finish, and everyone questioned it, that there was no confidence once he did go through on goal that he'd score. But there were two great finishes last night.
Two great finishes from Erling Haaland in the first half, Manchester City 2-1 up, heading into stoppage time. Eric Dier back from the dead to haunt Man City with it. Mm-hmm. He won the penalty by getting kicked in the face.
Yeah.
That's what caused the penalty. And then Is there many teams have that rule? Oh, if you win the penalty, you're not going to take it. But not Monaco. Eric Dyer's like, smack.
He said he took great influence from Harry Kane afterwards. He's been watching Harry take penalties for a long time. He took it well. I have a vague memory of him taking penalties back in the day, Eric Dyer. He's a good player that way.
Some career, though.
He wants to get back to the England squad. He's unhappy that he's not in it. But it was a good finish last night. Arsenal won handily, 2-0 against Olympiacos. Martin Odegaard, very impressive.
Specifically, afterwards, Arteta says he's given Odegaard creative freedom to do what he wants. Which is interesting because it's the one thing that Arteta's accused of not allowing people to do. That he's got the cold, clammy death hand of, you know, the Guardiola style where you will fit into my system or...
Well, maybe he finally trusts his team, Arteta. Maybe he finally feels that he has enough around Odegaard for Odegaard to do his thing. But like Odegaard was still creating the last couple of years. I've always felt that he got unfairly criticised because he was a little bit different to everyone else in the way he played. So if it didn't go too well, he'd be the first player that you talk about. Probably it's not because he was captain. People are always harsher on the captain if they don't play well. But he hit a through ball there last week for Miles Lewis-Skelly against Newcastle. Magic. Last night he was excellent again.
The team is interesting, right? Declan Rice is on the bench. Eberechi Eze is on the bench. Bukayo Saka's on the bench. That's a good bench.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, will they be on the bench when it's not Olympiacos at the Emirates? Will they be on the bench when it's one of the very good teams that they have to play? I'm not sure. Maybe they will. Maybe some of them will. But it is certainly... So they started with Marino, Zubimendi and Odegaard for the first 60 minutes. Are we starting to take Arsenal seriously because they won at the weekend? And because they've got real strength and depth?
I've always taken them seriously. I just don't believe they're going to win the two big trophies under Arteta.
Ever?
I don't think so. But he's really successful with them. I just don't think it's that step of...
Philippe is obviously an Arsenal supporter. We can talk to him about this a little bit later on as well. But I'm interested in that. What do you think is good? Like, what is fundamentally wrong with them?
I think I talked about this a lot last season, didn't I? About Arteta and Arsenal.
And the signings haven't changed your outlook.
I suppose I have to wait to be proven wrong about that. And I'm open to it.
Well, for new viewers, recap your thesis.
Well, he took over in January 2020. You have to remind yourself too, this is still his first job ever. It just so happens that he's been in it a long time, so people have high enough expectations of him. They were a bit of a rabble when he took over, and he's made them very solid. So the big thing labelled against him, he's only won one trophy. That was 6 months into his time. COVID FA Cup final, no one was at it, all that. He was kind of almost still in an interim phase. May even have still been interim. Gets the job. Makes him unbelievably solid. Many teams around Europe would kill for Arsenal's solidity and their core strength at centre-half and centre-mid. But I think what he lacks, and for a guy who was himself a creative midfielder, there is a lack of ingenuity in the sides he has and a lack of ambition and risk. And I think you need to have a bit of that to win the league. And I think that's what he lacks a little. Now, one turning point for you is that they go to St. James's Park and win. So last season, that could have been a draw. The year before, could have been a defeat. There was a couple of years ago, Arteta, when they, I think it was well into the season, this could have been May time, where they went to Newcastle and lost by a couple of goals midweek. And that was the end of their title. And was it last season he had the breakdown after the VAR decision? Wasn't it about a year ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
at St. James's Park.
It's been fairly consistent, those breakdowns that we've talked about.
And he could have had another one the weekend just gone with the penalty that wasn't given. But this time is a little bit different. So they get the equaliser in the 85th minute or so, and then deep, deep into injury time to get the winner. So maybe that's a little bit different for Arsenal Arteta. No, but I'm yet to be convinced.
It's funny, that's not actually based on creativity that was lacking last year. It's sheer willpower.
Do you remember I was saying last season with Jonathan Wilson as well, it was that they were kind of prematurely tense. They were like, they can't make a mistake from the start because it was the previous two seasons that was right at the end that they messed up. So it was like, we're going to be a very serious outfit here. No messing.
Yeah.
So it felt like they were very tense, very early last season. And maybe if they can strike that balance a bit better, who knows how far they can go. I'm just unconvinced that Arsenal under Arteta will win the league.
Yeah.
Far more convinced that Slot would retain it for Liverpool.
Even now?
Or that Pep would regain it for City.
Yeah, Pep. You'd be worried about Pep if you were an Arsenal fan, wouldn't you?
The thing about Arsenal is that they're starting to score goals again. Whereas last season, as many as nearly 16 less than City. But they're more or less, they're just two behind them now. Second most in the Prem this year. So they're scoring goals, which obviously is a very obvious thing. But
they have a great squad. And they have a really good manager. And I just still don't know if that's quite enough.
Carol Leary says, Arsenal played 7 games in 3 weeks. They're rotating a lot at the moment. Jokeres very tired at the end last night. Nebo says, literally just don't get injuries and they will win the league. David Holton says, I fell into the trap of believing Liverpool would romp the Premier League, but they're all over the place at the back. Arsenal could win it just by being consistent like Liverpool did last season. Madueke and Havertz are out as well, says Dylan, pointing out that. Previously, Madueke and Havertz being out would have been catastrophic for the team. Now it feels like that strength of that bench that they have is actually going to help them. What about that point that all they have to do is just be consistent? Like if... Because everybody else is flawed.
This is not a facetious response to that question, but what does that mean?
Yeah, just be good all the time. Like, play well.
Don't have a crazy 5-game blip where you get 3 points or 2 points from 5 games.
So you'd forgive a draw and a defeat every 5?
No, that's too much.
I see. I think by nature of a league, you're going to be inconsistent.
Mm. Was it Villa?
That'd be 8 or 9 defeats. Over the course of the season, that's too much to win the league.
But it's like last year, Liverpool. I think this year's first 5 games this year were Slot's first 5 wins in a row in the league. So they didn't win 5 games in a row last year in the league. So that kind of speaks to it.
Yeah,
like you can kind of, but they didn't lose an awful lot. It was a lot of the draws, I suppose, that came in after it. But that's about the measure of it.
Yeah, it's hard to look at the league table at the end of the season because then obviously
they put off a little bit at the end.
I think Arsenal are really consistent under Arteta. I think that's one of their best traits.
Yeah.
Is that you know what you're going to get with Arsenal, but I don't think you get enough for the talent that they have.
I mean, they did get, like, was it 90 points?
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. But I never really believe that they're going to win the league under them.
They do have those, it was a Villa in the Emirates season before last, where they just lost 4-2. And it was like, why has that just happened?
Yeah.
They have those blips where it's like,
they're hard to play against.
Out the window.
They're hard to play against. They're occasionally hard to watch, to be honest.
And so that goes back to Odegaard. Is that not also going to get better as the team begins to implicate safety around Odegaard and get Eze in the team? And if Martinelli comes back to some form, like he is also still, you know, relatively young but very experienced. And Saka was out with a hamstring injury for such a long period last year, that transforms the team from last year, which was bland, a bit vanilla, grinding stuff out, into a team that you're going, actually, hang on a second. Like, managing Saka's minutes now is something that they've not been able to do at any point in his career up to this point because they were so reliant on him. And now they're winning home games in the Champions League comfortably and not flogging him.
Yeah. I'd agree with most positive things to be said about Arsenal, but I'm just...
it's a hunch.
They're still
flaky. Yeah, I just have this thing where I'm like, I don't trust them to do it. Like, I just don't...
Yeah, that's okay. Like,
I don't trust them that when it comes to it, if they're 4 points ahead with 3 games to go, I'm getting... I'm getting tense. I'm just...
it's one
like, who's winning the league for them, do you know? That's what I'm thinking then.
Yeah,
who are their go to guys when it really comes to it? Who are Arsenal's go to men?
Yeah,
well, it's going to be Saka, Eze, Odegaard, and we have to wait and see.
Declan Rice.
I don't think it's that unbelievable at all. Like,
we have to see if Jokeres is going to be really good. So just I'm checking back on last season to see exactly what happened. The previous year, they were the third youngest team in the league. So that's the type of thing that also, if you stick with the manager, the team matures, learns its way to get through things like the game against Newcastle. It's obviously a single data point, so you don't want to extrapolate too much, but it is a significant change.
I don't think it's that far-fetched. Like, if you think about it, on the basis of it, like, but even the Liverpool game, you kind of keep going back to it. From what I saw of that, they were as good as Liverpool on the day. Like, there was no disparity between them, and then a sensational goal from a free that you'd normally be happy enough to give away at that stage of the game goes in, and you're like, disaster. 3 points, no points, losers. Yeah, bottled it. It's like it wasn't anything of the sort. So I think they're there, thereabouts.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Do you want to know what the bookmakers think?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fourth favourites, Chelsea. How much of your money will you allow me to spend on betting on Chelsea to win the league? I presume it's 0 euros. Chelsea are 33-1.
Jesus.
Third favourites, Man City.
Yeah.
9-2. Seems like a reasonably good value bet, does it?
Yeah.
Who do you think are second favourites?
Liverpool, is it?
The way you're saying it's probably Liverpool.
Liverpool are second.
See, that's just ridiculous.
It's not, I don't think it is ridiculous. It's
Liverpool are 7-4 and Arsenal are 5-4. So Arsenal are already favourites.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't allow that to clear their thinking. What?
Based off form. Like, Liverpool haven't played that well. And now they're missing their keeper for next month.
It is based off form, right? But it's also not reflective of the actual table at the moment, which is...
Well, no, but if it was, then we wouldn't, there'd be no point in betting whatsoever.
No, but it's interesting that, like...
But you wouldn't just ignore
the two-point lead, and Arsenal are favoured to overcome that 2 point. It's obviously 32 games left, but...
Yeah. Do you not think that's about right?
I'm surprised that they're actually favourites, given that how many Liverpool fans there are who bet on Liverpool to win.
So you're suggesting they're probably actually more favourites?
Potentially, yeah. Like... I actually am surprised that they're favourites.
I'm not. Like, Liverpool haven't been great.
Tonight's obviously a massive night for the League of Ireland. Do you want to do more Champions League?
No, that's it, I think. Newcastle hammered Union Saint-Gilloise. Oh,
yeah, the
4-0.
Uli Hoeneß going, we would never spend that money. He's a chump. And it's like, well, you wanted to sign him like 2 weeks ago. He's great. He's like... You would have signed that guy, Voldemelde.
Oh, Voldemelde. He was good last night, actually. Lovely bit of footwork in the middle of the pitch at one point.
Three goals in four games.
Didn't have Anthony Gordon down as a penalty taker. Two very accomplished back kicks.
Did he miss one recently?
I don't remember him taking one. Impossibly. They got a great counter goal at the end as well, Harvey Barnes from Arsula. Do you know that striker that they have? Scored against Liverpool. Don't know much about this guy. Came from Sheffield United. A bit raw.
They were trying to get rid of him on the last day of the
transfer. He looked real limited. And then at times, but he had a lovely through ball for Harvey Barnes last night. It's goes to show when you're 3-0 up in a game and you're coasting, you actually see the real talent of all these lads.
The confidence,
They have no stress at all playing.
Yeah.
So they hammered him. It was a good result because that was looked like a raucous atmosphere at that game. So they overcame that. Dortmund beat Athletic 4-1. Are we all in on saying Athletic Club now?
Yeah, you're supposed to.
I grew up with Athletic Bilbao.
Yeah, apparently it's wrong. So... I hear.
Benfica 2. No, that's from a few weeks.
I think the other one is Francoist.
What do we got? Leverkusen 1, PSV 1. And that, I think, is it. Villarreal and Juventus drew 2-2.
Do you think Leverkusen fans are just waking up and going, oh, it's over? Like that beautiful dream that happened where we were among the best teams in the world. It was just like...
stripped for parts.
Really weird.
Do you know who's on goal for them now? Flecken. Former Brentford boy. And Jared Kwanzaa is one of their centre-halves.
Yeah. And they spent about 700 million on Kwanzaa. Another example of Liverpool managing to fleece everybody else. Maybe Kwanzaa is amazing. And
well, they probably, like I'd say, they're probably in the basis of things now, probably overpaid for worse, to be fair. So probably evens out.
I don't know if you saw like the kind of list of reasons why they got rid of Ten Hag that was floating around. It was just like, no one liked them at the club.
Yeah.
Didn't get on with anyone. He didn't talk to us.
Poor fella.
His tactics were terrible. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, that's tough. I kind of wish he has good people around him. That's a tough sack.
Brutal. Like.
Jesus. He was working with his brother and his business between United and Leverkusen. Nothing to do with football.
A property millionaires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's laughing all the way. It's like, all right, I tried the football thing. Reached a very high level, lads.
Hard time gig.
Higher than any of you? All right. Come on, Eric. Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers in group stage action. Very first time we've ever had two teams in the group phase. It's Talla for Shelburne against Hacken, and Shamrock Rovers are on the road to Sparta Prague. Both those games kick off tonight at 8 o'clock. Are the fans of other League of Ireland teams hoping that they do well to help boost the European coefficient in the hope that we can drag other teams with them, or are the fans of League of Ireland teams hoping that they crash and burn? It's the latter, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you always want that. Yeah. Yeah, you always want that.
Even though you're like, it's such a weird situation now where, you know, in 10 years' time, hopefully we have four teams qualifying for the group stages and then it doesn't matter, right? That'd be great. But at the moment, every single point gets us closer to having four teams in the group stages.
Yeah.
As a Sligo fan, what do you want to happen? Crash and burn humiliation? 6-0? Or, okay, you really need...
Well, I don't, like... I'm not the most fervent Sligo Rovers fan, but like I know fervent Sligo Rovers fans, and I know exactly what they'd want to happen in that Shams game. Like,
go on,
crash and burn. It's like, you know, it's like, if it's not, why? Like, I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like, to take that away is like,
I'm not taking it away.
Try and take the authenticity out of the sporting element of it.
I think there are some times where the heart needs to rule the head. And there are some times where you need to go, oh, for the good of the game. I wanna.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a nice byproduct. It's like if you bet against the team you like.
I do that frequently, just as
yeah, so it's like, oh, if they lose, I'm happy. If they win, I'm happy.
Okay, okay.
I think that's the best you can hope for.
Okay. So if they win, I'll tolerate it it's because it's good for me. But ideally, they'll lose.
Ideally, they lose. I'm really embarrassed.
Now, it does, you know, I can't really overstate how important those European coefficients actually are for improving the lot of teams. Like, so the cup winners this year have a handier route to the Europa League. They're just one phase further on, which makes it more likely that we might have.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And that's transformative for the league. There are strong rumours around that Rovers are going to be signing some very good players from their main rivals in the off season.
What's new?
Again, yeah.
We shall see.
Like that is also, that's not a, yeah.
Comes to the pass.
That's a part, that is a problem though.
Yeah.
And that's not a, so you can kind of, I know the thing about the coefficient or whatever else, but it is a problem when one team, even two, become.
Well, you need about four teams.
So dominant that it's kind of, because it's a very small league, you know.
But if Shells don't qualify for Europe next season, then the benefit of this season kind of almost gets eradicated, not entirely, but certainly very quickly. So while these European games are important, the last few league games are actually just as important for that race for third and fourth, assuming that the cup goes the way we think it will. But it looks like Kerry are bringing nearly 1,000 people to Talla at the weekend, which is pretty impressive for a brand new club.
I thought it'd be Kerry fans going to Prague for this game, because you know Sparta Prague's assistant manager, do you know what his name is? Jamie O'Carroll, a Kerry man.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, why is he not in the green scene? What, do we know anything about his background or?
Yeah, he played for Celtic, but didn't play a senior game. Played a lot of football in the Irish Premiership above. And was most recently Newcastle United under 21 coach.
Right.
Had spells at St Mirren, Motherwell, Glentoran Women, Crusader Strikers.
This is all as coach manager.
Or that's the manager, yeah. That's the manager side of it, yeah. Northern Ireland, one of the coaches as well from 2023 to now, actually. He's still doing that, along with the Sparta Prague gig. So Sparta Prague, they have the big derby at the weekend against Slavia. So they may be otherwise engaged mentally. This could be good news for Shamrock Rovers. Rovers have quite the collection of fixtures ahead, right, in this Conference League. So they have Kelj from Slovenia, who they've played before. They have AEK Athens, where they go to Greece, or AUK Athens, I think it's said. And they then play Breidabek. And before that, Shakhtar Donetsk will come to town. Of course, Shells have asked, Crystal Palace, I think.
Yeah, in Talla.
So there's a few tasty fixtures for both. It's Shell's first ever time qualifying for a group stage. And Rovers have been there, done that. This is, I think it's like the 30th time Stephen Bally has taken his side to Europe. Yeah, 30th overseas away day. So at a time when he's been heavily linked in some quarters with the Ireland job. No harm for him as well to continue to do well here. But maybe he'll get a bigger job than Ireland. I mean, Dan McDonald does point out that it's not as simple Stephen Bradley becoming the Ireland manager in a way. The relations he has with some of the staff, the FAI. For instance, Stephen Bradley no longer speaks to FAI technical director Shane Robinson after a bitter fallout with the Waterford man was when he was in charge of the Hoops Academy. And the former Rover CEO, John Martin, of course, he's with the FAI now as Mark Cannon's replacement. It was flagged in some quarters as a positive for Bally, but they did not have a close working relationship with Shamrock Rovers. So that would be interesting. Now, would you hire someone in spite of your personal feelings with that person?
Ideally, that wouldn't.
They're the best man for the job.
That shouldn't influence things.
Let's see how they get on. They're playing, they themselves have a FAI Cup semi-final to contend with, like you said, against Kerry. But the Prague Derby's on. So it could be a good time to get them.
Prague Derby could be anything. I have absolutely no feel whatsoever for where that derby's at.
Vicious. you can't walk around the place.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
I was in Prague actually before.
I was there too. I was there in February.
You see the stadium coldest, when you're coming in.
It's beautiful. It's the coldest place I've ever been in my life.
Really?
Oh my God, it was unbelievable. Do you know when I was there? When the 115 charges dropped.
Oh, right.
I'll never forget that. I was on the bridge for that. But it was unbelievably freezing.
Wow.
And I like cold, but I...
Unbearable.
We had to seek shelter, it was so cold.
Right.
Okay.
There was a chill in the air. But beautiful place. But if you go in summer, you get the weather.
Yeah, it's class.
Sparta leads 36-28 in overall wins.
Against Slavia?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the big one this weekend.
They've only been playing for like 60 years?
No, they've been playing since 1892.
Well.
But
up and down. Ups and downs. Do you think Stephen Bradley will get the Ireland job?
No.
No, me neither.
No. I don't think so.
I don't think that's a live option at all. No.
I do think it's an option. I just don't think he'll get it. It'd be crazy not to consider him, I would say.
What? Like who,
and don't be afraid by the Stephen Kenny thing.
Who is going to get
what he's done.
I'd say Duff is more likely than Stephen Bradley, if you're going down that route.
I could see them going Sean Dyche. I could see them doing something like that.
Dyche still has a couple of...
maybe he does. Maybe he's better than that.
Break glass in case of emergency.
Doing a podcast now.
I could see them.
You're doing a podcast.
He's out of the game now, yeah. He's happy enough.
Woke nonsense.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it is. I think so. Something like that.
Duffer, yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if Duffer would work with them. You know, he seems very content. He was at the NFL with yourself, Ger, at the weekend.
Who?
Duffer.
Oh, I saw him.
And he was interviewed after to see this, and he was like, it's one of my first times out of the house in 3 months.
Yeah, that's normal.
Normal behaviour or normal for Duff? Because he's in no rush to do anything. And he's not going to... I feel like he struggles with authority. And he doesn't want to be listening to what anyone in the FBI tells him. That would be my sense of it. Who knows?
You'd want a strong enough PRO there on the go. Like, just like ready at any hour.
Yeah, ready to go, yeah. But if he wanted it, he might be a good appointment. I don't know, like, I mean... Like what he achieved at Shell's, unbelievable. You know, they weren't great this year under him. Is he actually the best person for the job, or are we just excited by his personality and his creativity?
And the career.
Yeah.
The playing career.
So it's everything else around him, isn't it? But like him as a manager, is he actually the best appointment?
Who is the best appointment then?
I suppose there are potentially other managers in the Heimer wage bracket who we can afford, who we're unaware of, right? Who might be good at international football.
Yeah.
Do we want somebody who is actually Irish and who lives and works here and thinks about the game? And like, I don't know. I think ultimately, yes.
It's never worked.
I know, but
Just because it hasn't worked doesn't mean it won't. You know,
for sure.
Performance, no indicator of future outcomes.
So,
what's the right thing for the country?
Qualifying for tournaments.
And if we were to go back to the awful football that qualified us for tournaments in the past, when there was, you know, lower crowds at the games, is that more important for us in the long run?
When?
Well, we weren't selling out the Lands End Road for a lot of games.
Well, under Jack?
No, not Jack. Jack
was much
smaller. Under O'Neill and Trapattoni, the crowd wasn't, you could get tickets for games. I'd have to go back and check the exact figures.
We played a lot of duds. during those years.
I guess to the point of qualifying for major tournaments, you know, when you think of Trapattoni and O'Neill, the first thing you think about are international tournaments that they qualified for. It's not really what else they did.
Yeah.
It is quickly forgotten.
That's all it's about.
Which is, it's an interesting point to make that it wasn't full. But I just think it's interesting. It's not core. They got to the tournament. We haven't done it in, what is it now? It'll be 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I think that actually...
It is, we could talk about how to fix Irish football and you'd be there all day, but it is one of the better shortcuts, qualify for a tournament.
I'm not saying we don't want to qualify for tournaments. I didn't enjoy a lot of the football at the end in particular. That final qualifying campaign under Martin O'Neill, we played awful football.
I think the worst it was in my lifetime was right at the end of O'Neill into Mick McCarthy part 2. Oh,
I kind of forgot about that.
Particularly, I remember there was a game against Northern Ireland. It was a friendly.
That was egregious.
Oh my God. It was like you could really properly see the colour of the Aviva seats. Yeah. You could enjoy the colour contrast with the sponsor.
The Aviva looks green.
Yeah. It was, and you could audibly hear people talk amongst themselves on the television.
Yeah.
That was bad. At least, you know, with Stephen Kenny, the fans wanted it to work. It clearly wasn't working. With Hamer Hargrimsson, what is the overall theme of his time? What's the relationship with fans? Is it a sense of practicality and a lack of what? Conviction? What's the Hallgrimsson theme?
Like, the fans were pretty hot up until...
I think the fans were like, when should the phase of, who's this? Who's this guy? Why won't he take charge of the first two games? That was a huge thing.
Yeah.
Why isn't he going to watch games? That was massive. Then he won a game. And then people were like, all right. Yeah, okay, we'll have him a little bit. So
warm to him. They brought him birthday cards.
And then he ended up, not quite Ruben Amorim style, but was quite a good talker in media. And was like, this guy is very reasonable to listen to. I can see you falling in line with this guy for sure. And then Irish football takes over again in the games. You're like, oh, okay, so he's not the answer either. So to go back to your question there, the reason I don't have an answer for you, because I don't want to jump into a name, because if I had that answer, he'd be in there now. It's so difficult to get the best man for this job because it goes so much beyond the one person in charge. And also you have to be realistic, because I could tell you the best man for the job is someone that you're never going to get ever. Like, Stephen Bradley does carry himself with the confidence of a manager who has overseen a team in Europe. There is a comfort that he has, growing comfort that he has on the bigger stage that an Irish club would have. So it's a nice old path for him. Now, are you ready to manage the Republic of Ireland when you go from Shamrock Rovers to Ireland?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Probably not. There probably needs to be another move in between.
Yeah.
But going back to Hoyland, he went Atlanta to Man United, had played very little at Atlanta. It was too much too soon for him. Could be the case for Bradley. Now, what job would he get?
So what's the difference between that and Duff? Why would Duff be able to do it?
Duff's done it on that stage.
Duff would be very, very comfortable.
He's familiar with the world.
You know.
As a player?
Yeah.
He's been in the setup as well, in fairness.
He's been in the setup. Now, you're going to tell me, Ger, it's very different as a player to a manager.
I think it is. Yeah, I think that, like, it's...
But
of course.
The reason...
Sorry for being so boring and predictable.
The reason we're going back over this... is because there is no outstanding candidate, so you have to go through the pros and cons of all of them.
Yeah, I
so
just don't think you can say that...
that stage.
I don't think you can say that Duff is so far ahead of Bradley because he played in those tournaments as a player and has any understanding of what was involved in the management of it at that side. And I say all the players who become managers are like, geez, I had no idea. Like, it's one of those... It's a culture shock moment for people.
Yeah, but there's not... Like, we saw what... So Stephen Kenny has a far better managerial CV than Stephen Bradley, for instance. I think based on... You can go relatively speaking, like, in terms of, like, Bradley's had an awful lot available to him there at Shamrock Rovers, and they've become a bit of a juggernaut, like, and that's not all he's doing. It's a great system in place. And what Kenny achieved is remarkable, and he went in and looked completely out of his depth.
Like completely. It was clearly just completely, this is, what the hell is going on? How is everyone now all of a sudden know my name? Everyone's coming at me. Everyone has an opinion on me. I don't think, based on some of the more acrimonious parts of Stephen Bradley's career in there, that he's necessarily going to respond all that well to when the whole world comes crashing down on him because we've drawn it home to Moldova. Like, I just, that's my theory on it. I think that's where you have a place where Duff knows exactly what that scrutiny is like since he was, what, 16, 17?
But Duff walked out on Shelby.
For sure. I'm not
walked
saying
out on
perfect,
Ireland.
But I think that's the difference. I think he knows that he might not respond particularly well to it, but it's not going to be a shock to him that it's like, geez, everyone's looking at me, everyone's talking about me.
I don't know. I feel like, look, as you say.
It's like Trapattoni when he came in. The man had no, he was not in the remotest bit fazed by what the pressure and the thing of it, the kind of exposure of it.
No, but Trapattoni had like loads of Premier League players.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so what do we know? I mean, we have quite a few now.
We don't. Comparatively, Trapattoni's squad was way better. He had Duff and Robbie Keane and Damien Duff when he started.
Yeah.
Richard Dunn.
Aging team.
Well, like, were they 30, 32? You know, like not that old. They weren't 40.
No, they weren't 40. Yeah, better squad for sure. But, you know, there was some rogue players that came through that era as well.
You know, the squad's being named today as well. It's all going to happen at once for Irish football tonight. Shelton Rovers kicking off at the same time and the squad named for the October Black.
Yeah. Is it all over for us if we don't get a middle part in this or we don't get a certain...
We've got to beat Armenia.
Yeah, but like, so it's Portugal first or
it's
second?
Portugal first, yeah.
If we lose that, like, are we done? Do we have to beat Portugal or anything?
No, not yet. No, I think Portugal are going to beat everybody. That's our assumption, is that they're going to end up with 18 points, all right. Which they've already won in Budapest. Who are we playing?
Yeah. We're playing, are we going? No, we're going to Hungary last, so it's Armenia again.
We're playing Armenia, but Hungary last, and they've already won in Hungary, so we expect that they'll beat Hungary at home, unless they pie that off. Which would ruin us if it did. Or, I mean, not that we didn't ruin ourselves by losing in Armenia, but
I forgot how bad it was. Feels like a lot longer ago.
It's absolutely so grim. Yeah, so grim.
Yeah, look, maybe Duff is the right man because he comes in, burns brightly, and it's one tournament. It takes us up to, you know, it's actually not going to be that pressurized really because we'll be going to the home Euros, and that's a unifying moment, and everybody gets behind him, and we collectively forget that he's been involved with Chelsea and walked out in them on a Saturday morning. Was it a Saturday morning?
Sunday afternoon. Great point, though.
I remember where
that was another surprising one.
I remember where it was. Yeah, I was in a Boots in Liverpool.
Were you?
Yeah, looked at my phone.
Dropped my knees.
Yeah, just
a few months ago.
But he'll
never
forget.
I remember where I was.
Yeah, but it's just so uninteresting.
Did you walk out of the shop? Did you continue with your purchases?
I think I was going to check out already.
Because you had to do a bit of pacing after this. I can't believe this has happened.
Yeah.
Seen this?
Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Sir, please, it's a big cue.
It was unbelievable.
Hold on a second now.
It's unbelievable. Sunday afternoon. To the Graham Potter Saturday morning point, yeah. Nobody goes Sunday afternoon. See, that's what I mean. Like, he doesn't care. Duff doesn't care when he goes or what he does.
He just, it was the right decision.
He says himself that 3 months on, it's the best decision he ever made. He'll never regret it.
To the day he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so dramatic. You need that. A little bit of oomph.
Bring the show, bring the circus, bring the sponsors, bring the crowds.
You need a bit of oomph, but do the people get on board with the oomph? You know, people are very cynical about these things.
Well, I think...
You know, if you have someone who's a bit... has a bit of different energy to them, I think most people are like, what's all this? Why can't you just conform?
As in who? The fans or just Irish fans?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's an Irish, I think there's... I do think there's something in that.
Could be Robbie Keane, of course.
I mean... I
have to ask him twice.
In terms of the CVs that have been put together from a managerial perspective, he's probably got the most qualifications. Now, I don't know.
He's doing it a while,
I presume... We wouldn't be able to afford Robbie at this stage. Maybe he wants to get into the English. Maybe that's next for him.
Yeah, you think so?
Maybe Turkey. I don't know. The money in Turkish football seems outrageous at the moment.
Yeah.
That team Galatasaray managed to put together They ain't doing it for the love of the game, to spread the gospel. Well, some of them might be, in fairness. But go on.
Brendan Rodgers went on a Sunday.
From which job?
Liverpool. That's when Thierry Henry put his hand on Jamie Carragher's leg.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that
and
was
a
about.
Star was born. Yeah. A media star was born. Yeah, that was the last time. So, look, we're talking about this. He's still in the job, you know. Imagine he turned it all around, Tamer.
That'd be amazing. You know? Congratulations.
And then we'd be clipping this chart and we'd have to delete the clip. Like, yeah. Jesus, he actually was on. They beat Portugal. They beat Portugal.
Home and away.
That was unbelievable. Fair play to him.
We'll be doing this show from Texas next year.
What happened?
The dentist performed when it came to it. So it's all happening tonight. So they're the two games. Pity it's our Saturday at the same time. That's all I'll say. It is a double screen required here. If you're a neutral, like everyone in this room will be, for example, who would you watch? Do you go to the box office?
Shelburne and my local team, what are you talking about?
Sorry, I didn't realise you're from the area.
Yeah, you are a
neutral boy.
No,
you have to be neutral in this.
No, I don't.
This is Irish in Europe.
Yeah, 100%. They're literally, I could poke a ball to Talca Park from my back.
I don't recall you celebrating wildly last year when they won the league.
All right, okay. Celebration at least there.
No cheering in the press box, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you have to stay there. So they're both playing tonight, same time, 8 o'clock. Which one do you go for? Do you go for the more box office on paper, Sparta Prague away? Or do you go for possibly the more likely win, Häcken at home from Sweden? Häcken have had a poor start to the domestic league. They're mid-table. The only time they won the league, 2022. But they are Swedish Cup champions and they have a good record in Europe.
Cup specialists.
Looking up the Swedish. What is that? That's the Elka Strasse or something, isn't it?
I don't look down. You know, some fine players come from Sweden.
No, you know, not looking down. Not looking down at all. Yeah. Right, just the idea of looking at the table and extracting all that information.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're here for, I suppose, you know. And I, for one, I think I lean towards the game in Czechia.
You're going for Czechia, right?
I'm going to respect what they want to be like. I'm going around saying Turkey, yeah. As well. So Sparta Prague,
Once Athletic Club,
Shamrock Rovers. Do you want to watch Shells Häcken, Ger? And we can do a live chat.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you up for that, are you? We'll text what's happening in your game, we could say.
Well, yeah. Fair enough. I'm looking forward to seeing what team they name.
Okay.
And hopefully victory. The fact is it's not actually obviously in Talca. It's very unfortunate, and I think speaks to the need for further investment in the. And we'll come back to that later on, actually, when we're talking to Stephen Smith of Kitman Labs. The Alfred Dunhill links. Everybody's mad for their golf, right? Are you going to be watching any of this? Because Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, and Robert McIntyre, all of whom carried themselves really well, all of whom had a little bit about them, in a way that I wasn't. You know, they were like.
This time last week, you thought there were different types of people.
Well, I became emotionally invested in what they were doing, and they all carried themselves in the face of the tumult. That's
why
well.
That's what I love about the Ryder Cup is that you start really liking these people's personalities. That you don't know anything about these people really, what they're like, but you're getting very on board with these guys, like especially ones you wouldn't necessarily be tied with. So you mentioned, you know, like Fitzpatrick as well, cheering Tyrrell Hatton, like. You know, Tyrrell Hatton, I suppose he's actually technically won, you know, he won the Ryder Cup. It's Mark Howard, won the Ryder Cup. And you're cheering for these guys, Fitzpatrick as well. And then give it 2 weeks' time, like, whatever.
I like Fitzpatrick.
That's the beautiful thing about the Ryder Cup, I think.
I know you say, whatever, but actually, I don't, you know, the North remembers, we don't forget, like, that it turns out they're part of our team. Like,
I'll see you in 2 years' time, sure.
Do you go rooting for them then in competition?
Now we'll have like a, okay, actually, I know a little bit about it.
If any of those Europeans win on the tour in the next 6 months, I'd say there'd be a lot of goodwill. Now give it a year.
Is there no Stockholm syndrome?
Months, like, whatever.
At all. It's like, we've been captured by these people and now I'm on their team. No?
I'm just thinking of like Lions, if I was to draw that parallel. If I'm to start supporting English players in their,
do you know that
their respective competitions?
Well, we really will get to know this group very well. So it was all but one is the same as Rome. And it may not change that much in their manner. Justin Rose probably is potentially going to switch from player to coach or player to vice captain. He's 45 now, but like, look how good he was. Is his game going to diminish that much in 2 years?
Maybe. Could be Cliff.
Maybe so, but it should be a very similar team. So we will become incredibly familiar with these guys over this period of time. Yeah, it's interesting to see that they're back in action.
Yeah. I suppose you would do if you'd lost, you'd be like, I'm sorry, I pulled a hamstring, I've got a little neck injury. A reminder, Off the Ball Breakfast says, with the UPMC Orthopaedic Care, when things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.